I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good evening. Welcome to the Kim Wade Show. This is quite obviously not Kim Wade. Kim's still recovering, so my name is Mike Madison. I do an obscure little show down the day dial there from 9 to 11 o'clock during the weekdays. It's kind of like one of those really hip nightclubs. Not everybody knows about it, but it's there. So I'll be hosting today as Kim gets better. He'll be back before we know it. It always feels like it kind of cracked me up the other day. So we've got several of the show hosts here, and we brought in people from outside like Kingfish. I believe Matt Friedman is doing one of Kim's shows. You've got to ask yourself, how many white guys does it take to take the place of one black radio strongman, Kim Wade? It also got me thinking, I think that, when you sit in this chair, when you come in and you get the Kim Wade audience and sit in this chair as just a regular old white guy trying to make a name for yourself, it felt like this was really kind of the feeling it should go for. You've seen 8 Mile when Eminem tries to get up on the stage, tries to do something for himself. He sees everything you ever wanted. It kind of feels like this is how you think you should be. You know, you've only got one shot. Yo. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over, plow. Snap back to reality. Oh, now, I do have some street cred. I'm a graduate of Murrah High School, so before you judge me, and I'm also a bit of an Eminem fan. So anyway, that's just kind of the vibe you get when you sit in Kim Wade's chairs. You only got one shot. Don't let the opportunity go. So we're going to talk about a lot today. We've got vaccine stuff. We've got some mask stuff. I've really weighed into this fight against the masks, and I'm going to use this opportunity in talking to Kim Wade's audience. It's a more diverse audience than I get. It's a larger audience. You know, people tend to be working between 9 and 11 o'clock each day. So I've got that audience that's coming off of work because I think we need to start taking control of our schools. I've weighed into that, and I'm very interested. We've really struggled. We're assembling a lot of parents with Madison County schools, Rankin County schools. I'm getting nothing from any of the parents at JPS, and I start to ask myself, why? Do you not see any problems with mandates from the schools, particularly when it comes to these masks? So we're going to get into that a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about the shots. I got to undo. Well, that's probably a bad term, undo. I'm going to challenge. We kind of have a tit for tat, and maybe we'll end up on the same show at the same time between me and Kingfish, as Kingfish is pretty pro-vaccine. I think a lot of you may have noticed that on his shows. I'm going to give you what I believe to be a second opinion, and then maybe at some point we'll have a meeting of the minds between Kingfish and I, and we can talk these vaccines backwards and forwards. But I am curious with Kim Wade's audience what you think about these masks. Do you not believe that your children need to get out of these masks? If you don't, stick with me next hour. I'm going to have a psychologist on air with me explaining the dangers of these masks. And I've got some scientific stuff. I did a show on Saturday, but this is a new audience. It's kind of like being in a rock band or doing a comedy act. You know, you got to do a little bit of the same material, even though you go from show to show. Feels like you're repeating yourself, but it's a different audience, so you just go through your stuff. So I've got things, you know, the science is out there. It's just not being talked about. Thomas Dobbs not going to talk about it. Anthony Fauci's not going to talk about it. Your school boards aren't going to talk about it. And we suspect up here at WIAB, we've been noodling around with this. We think to ourselves, is there any way that our school administrations and our school boards can really be this stupid to think that masks actually make a difference? And then we start tracking down the, anyone, the money, and realizing that the fact the CDC is driving the boat, and we believe there's probably some strings on all of this COVID money that's sloshing around to these schools. And that's why your children are being masked. It's not being done for their health. It's being done for the administration's pocketbook. But anyway, we're going to get to all of those things today. Look, I'm a uniter here. That'll be a little bit of a different flavor for the Kim Wade Show. I don't hate Democrats. I like debating Democrats. I like asking them why they need someone else to rule their life. That's just not me. It's almost hard for me to imagine. Not since I was about 12 years old did I really feel. You can ask my parents. As I was a teenager, I didn't want them running my life when I was 13 years old. They should have. I made some pretty poor decisions. and they tried. I'm somebody who does like to learn things the hard way. There's no doubt about it. But since I was about 12 years old, I didn't want anybody else running my life. And I don't quite understand the Democrat voter who wants someone to run their lives. But I believe there's some of that on the right. When it comes to how we fight back. See, I'm a believer that we all need to get in this thing together. We'll have our disagreements. That's okay. It's like brothers and sisters. You grow up, you fight a little bit, you argue about things, you get sick of each other, may spend a period of time not talking to each other, but you're blood. You don't disassociate. Well, we didn't used to. Now brothers and sisters might not talk to each other because of who they voted for. I think that's silly and immature, but I was encouraged. New York has started to rise up against these mandates. The vaccine passports have rolled out in New York City. Because, of course, New York City is going to try the worst policy first. They've gone from one of the greatest cities in the world, really. And New York's got its problems. There's no doubt about that. But what they've built there, it's the financial powerhouse of the planet. Certainly has all of the arts and everything you could imagine is in New York City. A very vibrant place, and they turned it into a ghost town because of a few health hysterics. But they're starting to rise up. Jo Rose, she's pretty young. She looked to be maybe late 20s, early 30s, black girl in New York. She was at these vaccine passport protests this past weekend. There were a lot of people up there. And we think about New York City as being, New York City. Bunch of liberals and leftists. There's something to that. I mean, that's where AOC is from. No doubt about that. But even those people up there are getting fed up. That's when this movement against this totalitarianism is getting ahead of speed. Jo Rose, again, young black woman, said, "If you look at if you took the vaccine, I love you. This is not against you. We are pro-freedom." This is a speaker at the protest. One speaker said, quote, "The only thing that gathers us all together, different groups, different types, is our stance against tyranny. When they try to take away our freedoms, we stand." See, no partisan crap in this, no race crap in this. These are people realizing they're being abused by their overlords in New York City. I saw one quote before I came on air. I didn't get a chance to clip it or bookmark it, but it was a business owner. He said, "These people are psychopaths. They're destroying us. I'm on my last legs here. I'm dying." New York business owner. And when you finally understand, whether you're on the right or the left, that the elites do not care about Main Street, you're like cute little pets. Occasionally it's nice to have you around, but you're not a priority. Another one of these protesters said, quote, "Don't use this as a political front," talking about the vaccine mandates. She said, "I don't care about Biden. I don't care about Trump. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're black, yellow, white, purple. I don't care if you're Christian, Muslim, gay, straight. I don't care. This is a human issue, and it should be bringing us all together." I don't think there's ever been a time that I've seen in American history. I'm 54 years old. Never seen a time in American history where the people need to come together and throw off the shackles of this really small handful of people that have been calling the shots. Kind of leads me to, I do a quote of the day every day on my show in the morning. I'll give you the one for today. This quote is not attributed to anybody, but it says, "I'm not saying they're intentionally trying to shut down small businesses, destroy the middle class, transfer the majority of the wealth to the world's largest corporations, divide us with fear and hatred, and take away our rights and liberties. But if they were, what would they be doing any differently? It's right in front of us, people. I'll be right back. All right, I should probably explain to people who I am, for those of you who are tuning in, another small piece of the people trying to replace Kim Wade. As I said, I don't know how many white guys it takes to replace one strong radio strongman, Kim Wade. I think it's about six right now, so that should do good for Kim Wade's ego. He should understand it's a lot of heavy lifting up here to carry this show every day. I'm a libertarian guy. See, I don't do the party stuff. I don't do the Republican, Democrat stuff. I'm a very radical freedom guy. Those of you who aren't familiar with libertarianism, a lot of Republicans understand libertarianism because the Republican Party has told you we're a bunch of crazy nut jobs. Because Republicans are just big government people, too. They want to hold the purse strings. They want to retain all their power. They just want to talk about freedom. And when I realized that, I bolted the Republican Party and became just kind of an independent libertarian guy, never satisfied with anybody. I'm very, very unimpressed with our political class here. So that's where this stuff comes from. So we're going to talk a little bit about COVID. And, you know, one of the greatest tragedies of the past several years, even prior to COVID, was comedy. The comedians. What happened to our comedians? Even some of our rock stars, you know, this is where we went for kind of irreverent, outside-the-box, fight-the-power stuff. Comedians and rock stars, sex, drugs, and rock and roll has now become, yeah, make sure you get your vaccine passport. I mean, it's just it's like even our more, you know, we like the rebels in our society. On the conservative side of things, we like to talk about living a good, calm, conservative life, but, you know, secretly we all watched Motley Crue back in the 80s and 90s drink themselves to death, and we cheered it on. We liked them. We like our rebels. So many of the rebels have disappeared. And our comedians, when it comes to things like Saturday Night Live, particularly in the age of Trump, they just went completely unfunny. Just really just lost their moorings. And it just continues, particularly with COVID stuff, although Nicki Minaj making some waves, isn't she? Uh-oh. That wasn't a good one for the state. I think I've got a clip of Joy Reid talking about. No, it wasn't about Nicki Minaj. It was about Joy Reid on MSNBC. But Nicki Minaj kind of throwing a fly in the ointment. Nicki Minaj has never had so many conservative fans ever. And now we all love her. I've got a clip here. This was Chris Rock went on some show and. I'm a Chris Rock fan. I saw him here in Jackson. The guy's just done some great comedy over the years. I got to tell you, I like, when it comes to music, when it comes to comedy, I kind of like the Hellraisers. I like the Rebels. This, not so much.
I was going to ask you, there is some trepidation among many people in the black community in particular about taking the vaccine.
I'm going to put it this way. Do I take Tylenol when I get a headache? Yes. Do I know what's in Tylenol? I don't know what's in Tylenol, Gail. I just know my headache's gone. Do I know what's in a Big Mac, Gail? No. I just know it's delicious.
To all beef, patty, yeah. Sauce, and sauce.
I don't know what's in that sauce, Gail.
So there you go. So that's Kim Rock. Because Chris Rock's message is, we don't need to know what we're putting in our bodies. Why has a man got to know what's going in his butt? Is that a good Chris Rock impression? His stance is just... whatever. He doesn't know what's in the Tylenol, but I'll bet you he didn't take the very first bottle of Tylenol that ever hit the shelves. I bet you people had taken the Tylenol for decades before he popped a Tylenol. To me, that I got to tell you. If a few billion people have been taking a drug for decades before me, there's a comfort level there. Pharmaceutical company puts a drug on the shelves and go, here, take it. Seriously, it's good for you. I got to tell you, I'm a little suspicious, but Chris Rock, I keep wanting to call him Kid Rock. Chris Rock's position on this is quit paying attention to what's going into your body. I got to tell you, how's that worked out for, and they were addressing, that was Gayle King, Oprah's buddy, you know, she got her gig at CBS completely on merit. It had nothing to do with being Oprah Winfrey's, air quotes here in the studio, best friend. I'm just saying, there were rumors. That's all I'll say about that. But this is Gayle King talking to Chris Rock about the black community's hesitation to take the vaccine. Chris Rock's message is, quit worrying about what you're putting in your body. I do a lot of stuff on my show about health, particularly every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. And I got to tell you, I'm looking around. I feel like the black community's got a big problem with diabetes. Kind of seems like maybe this is a time where the black community should start paying a little bit more attention and doing a little bit more research about what's going into their bodies. They've talked a lot about the fact that the black community has been more susceptible to COVID. The only reason that that can possibly be the case is because the black community has become less healthy than they used to be. So has the white community, for sure. But it was very disappointing for me to hear Chris Rock's stance on this is, look, I don't know what's in the McDonald's secret sauce, so why should I care what they're injecting into my arm and into the arms of our children? This is the logic. I guess this was meant to be somehow convincing to people. You know, I keep looking at this diabetes thing. For a while there, I was tracking the numbers. Towards the end of last year, as they breathlessly reported all of these COVID numbers, COVID hospitalizations. The thing is, for these other preventable diseases, diabetes, many cancers, the cancer used to be 1 in 33 people. It's now 1 in 3. That's over about a 50-year span, I believe. Why is that? You hear any doctors talking about really nailing down the cause of all these other cancers? We've got more Alzheimer's, more autism, more heart disease. We've got all of these things. You know why? Because we're not paying attention to what's going into our body. This would have been a perfect opportunity for people like Thomas Dobbs, the Anthony Fauci's, to get everybody to focus more on what's going into their body. But maybe that was the key. I've been wondering, why don't they mention vitamin D? Why don't they talk about telling people? I've got a story here. Where is it? Let me find my notes. CNBC. Yeah, here it is. It was a CNBC article. This is from a while back. I think this is March. Yeah, it's from March of this year. About 78% of people who have been hospitalized, needed a ventilator, or died from COVID-19 have been overweight or obese. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said in a new study on Monday. Again, this is back in March. 78% of the people who have been hospitalized, needed a ventilator, or died from COVID-19 have been overweight or obese. I'm no rocket surgeon, but that sounds like a clue. Sounds like a tiny bit of a clue. Now, Thomas Dobbs took office, I looked, because it's been my frustration all along, as I've done on my little morning show I do. Why Thomas Dobbs hasn't been telling Mississippi, the fattest state, Jackson in particular, the fattest city in the fattest state in the fattest country in the world. Seems like Thomas Dobbs, it might have been a golden opportunity for Thomas Dobbs to go, hey, now would be a great time to get pretty serious about those resolutions you had. I know it's March of 2020. You've already bailed on them, but there's a little something coming our way, and it seems to really be hitting the obese. Again, that's 78% of people who have been hospitalized, needed a ventilator, or died from COVID-19. You think Thomas Dobbs would have mentioned that? Thomas Dobbs came into office. I actually looked this up because I don't know if people understand that, you know, Thomas Dobbs, the health officer, wasn't in our face every day until March of 2020. But he started on December 13th of 2018. He's been in this field for a while. What did he do for the black community when it comes to diabetes? Did he do daily press conferences talking about the number of hospitalizations from diabetes? And as I say, I used to track these numbers. They're high. The number of deaths or amputations or people on dialysis. Did he break down these numbers? Because diabetes to the black community, and again, this is trailing off on Gayle King and Chris Rock there, diabetes in the black community and in the white community too. Believe me, white people's health has trended in the wrong direction for a while now. But I didn't see Thomas Dobbs telling everybody, please, This diabetes and heart disease from your bad diet is taking up hospital beds. Our poor nurses. He didn't say that, did he? For a couple of years, he just sat there and did his thing. And he never mentioned any of these things. 78% of the people. This is a disease that is largely attacking. And what's the other 22%? We got 78% of people are obese. What's the other 22%? Elderly. You take out the elderly and the obese, we barely even needed to really even talk about COVID, to be honest with you. But Mike, the hospitalizations, it's all about the hospitalizations. I thought this was kind of an interesting clip. This is the CEO of a West Virginia hospital group. You know, you've heard this. So the idea is you hear a bunch of people say, we're running out of hospital beds. Social distance, stay at home and get your shots. Even though the shots are failing all over the world. More on that later. But the idea is that there's just so many people getting COVID right now and flooding into our hospitals that there just are no beds. Well, is that really the truth? Let's listen to this CEO from a West Virginia hospital group explain
Jim
why.
Kaufman's with us, president and CEO of the West Virginia Hospital Association. I continue to hear anecdotally from some who suggest that, well, these challenges of the hospital have less to do with the number of patients and more to do with the staffing issue. That if you had more staff, that it would not be as serious in terms of the handling the number of patients. Is that accurate, or what is your read on that?
We do have a staffing issue, and this is a national problem. Just to give you a perspective,
it's a national issue. So it really doesn't matter what state you go to, what state is freaking out, whatever the media is saying that, oh, Idaho's running out of beds. They tried to lie to you at Rolling Stone, at some other publications, and then the mainstream, Rachel Maddow and MSNBC tried to lie to you about the fact that ivermectin overdoses are taking over the beds, and gunshot victims are having to wait in line. It was rapidly exposed as a lie. Like within hours, it was shown to be an abject lie. But across the country, they're screaming about hospital beds and blaming the unvaccinated for this overflow of beds. Well, it turns out it's not the number of cases they're having. It's the fact that they've run off a ton of their nurses. You know, last year they were laying off nurses. Because of this COVID hysteria, they weren't doing elective surgeries. A lot of nurses, that's what they do. They work with specialists who go into these hospitals and do surgeries. They laid a bunch of them off. They've created this entire situation. They've destroyed their nursing corps. And now they blame the unvaccinated for the fact that there aren't enough beds. The reason there aren't enough beds is because the medical system has so poorly handled its staffing issues.
About 47,000 vacant traveling nurses positions open this week.
I know what we'll do. We've got 47,000 open nursing slots. We're 47,000 short in nursing. I know what we'll do. We'll threaten all the ones that are still around that they either get a vaccine or they have to leave. These are the people we trust with our health. This is how they're thinking. I don't know. I got to say, if you're down 47,000 people in your profession, maybe don't put a whole bunch of ultimatums on the few that are left with you.
Across the country. So this just shows you the huge demand for clinical staff, not just here in West Virginia, but the entire country. And that actually is putting more pressure on West Virginia because hospitals around the country actually have better resources than we do, and they're able to recruit staff away.
Does this state, do we need more ICU beds in this state?
We don't need more ICU beds. We need more staff.
Wait, what? How can that be right? I mean, this guy must not know. He's only the CEO and the president of a hospital group. Did you hear him there? Do I need to play it again? He says, we don't need more ICU beds. We need more staff. Although we've been told by the mainstream media, ICUs are full. What are we going to do? It's just not the case.
I mean, we actually have the beds. It's the staffing that's the challenge. And that's why all the hospitals are trying to work together to figure out how do we maximize the limited staff that we have to serve the needs of the patient. But workforce issues was a challenge in West Virginia prior to COVID. Financial challenges with the hospitals was a condition prior to COVID, and it's been exacerbated for the past 19 months.
So when you hear we don't have any beds, we blame the unvaccinated. Know that that's just a lie, but it's not as big a lie as this one. And I played this on my morning show. This is just a beauty. And trust me, this is an Australian report, but this is like a, I don't know, I think it's a bit of a mic drop moment, so I'll do it on my way out of this segment. You've seen all the people in the hospital beds crying. They can barely speak. Tubes running in holes, out of holes. They're propped up in the bed, behind the big plexiglass, outside the room. Everybody's dressed up in a hazmat suit. These people are barely clinging to life, but they somehow muster the energy to do an interview with the local news to tell everybody, I wish I had gotten the shot. Well, some interested citizens did a little bit of investigation on some of these reports down in Australia. I would imagine if we did these kinds of investigations up here in the United States, we'd find the same things, but check this out.
It's had a real effect on your family. You're not able to look after your kids at the moment.
I haven't been working. Like, I'm a single mom. It's not easy.
Hello, I'm Paul Barry. Welcome to Media Watch. And that was single mum Ramona, one of 700 COVID patients hospitalised in Australia at the end of last month, who, along with two others in Sydney's Concord Hospital, was keen to warn people of the dangers of COVID by sharing heartbreaking stories about their illness from their hospital beds.
So please get vaccinated. I wish I knew beforehand.
Shortness in breath.
I think I'm going to play that again. You'll understand why in just a second. Listen to this guy. Doesn't he sound so sad? He's labored for. He can barely get the words out. Luckily, the news media got that camera and that microphone up to him real close. He can barely say the words because he's so sick.
About their illness from their hospital beds.
So please get vaccinated. I wish I had beforehand.
Sure. Please get vaccinated. I wish I had beforehand.
Shortness in breath. Something attacking the lungs. It was harsh.
Oh. Footage of those patients identified.
Now, most of you think I'm being really mean right now, don't you? You think I'm being hardcore and a bunch of sick people? I don't want to see anybody come to harm. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm a uniter. I love people. So pay attention to the rest of the story. You'll understand why I don't care about these particular people.
By their first names, was recorded by Dr. Lucy Morgan and released by New South Wales Health and made it onto all the major networks, including ABC News, 10 News First, and 7 News. But soon, people on social media were wondering if the New South Wales Health video was actually a fake. And among the skeptics was former One Nation Senator Rod Cullerton, whose post received thousands of likes, and another former senator, David Lyon-Helm. And one intrepid TikToker who went digging was able to reveal...
I found all three actors. Now, how can this be coincidental?
Yes, all three, including Ramona, were supposedly paid crisis actors who did not have COVID at all.
Huh. That's weird. Now, the ABC they're referring to in this story is not our corrupt ABC. It's Australia's, Australian Broadcasting Corporation. It's their corrupt ABC. And the sick thing is that these news networks, they know damn good and well these people are not real patients. Even if they didn't, if the hospitals tried to dupe them, you would think they might have done a little bit of background. Can we check out the chart? Can we find out a little bit of their history? Something. I mean, it would have taken about two questions to determine these weren't actually real patients. They were actors.
And another internet sleuth then set out to prove it, ringing Concord Hospital to show that Ramona Khoury was not a patient there.
Hello, is this Concord Hospital?
Yeah, can I help you?
Hi, it's John Curry. I'm just looking for my wife.
How's she?
Ramona Curry.
Well, bingo. That video, which TikTok only removed today, had nearly 800,000 views.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with the term crisis actor, I'm about to take a break. Look it up. All right, we are back. This is Kim Wade's show. This is the Kim Wade Show. Filling in for him today, this is Mike Madison. I do a show here from 9 to 11. You should come discover it. It's a funky little ride every day. Very different than what you're going to hear on most of conservative talk radios. I don't do hate across laterally. If somebody disagrees with me on vaccine, I'm happy to talk to you. I'm not mad at you. Even same with the masks. But next hour, you stick around. We're going to break down this whole masking of our children stuff. I believe that that is psychological, social, mental, and physical abuse of our children every single day. Sure, I'm just digging here. I'm digging on the Kim Wade Show to find somebody in the Jackson Public Schools who doesn't want to see their children subjected to this abuse every day. I can't find them. I can't find them. I can't remember how many students are in JPS. It was something like 100,000 parents and grandparents of students in JPS. Nobody seems to really fine with the masks. But the number here is 601-879-0002. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big call taker, usually with my morning show, but most people are working. It's more of a passive medium. This is drive time radio, man. This is the big time. If you want to call in, I'll try to get your call. But for each show, the way I prepare is I bring a ton of clips and stories and stuff to go through. Kim can walk in here, knock it out of the park. He can get here about 2 minutes to airtime and just start going and put together an entertaining show that gets people all energized. There's no way I pull that off. The idea of that is like, you know, those dreams you have where you walk into the school and you realize you forgot to put any clothes on. You're completely naked. So I come with a lot of material. But if you want to call in, I'll try to stop and take your call. I talked about how comedy has just been destroyed by both the political correctness stuff, the cancel culture, and now with COVID, with, you know, the hysterics coming out of entertainment. But some of them are starting to clue in. It's been pretty interesting to watch kind of the metamorphosis. And one of those people is Bill Maher. Now, he is no Trump supporter. As people know, Bill Maher has got some pretty big liberal ideas. He calls himself a libertarian. Don't let that label that he tried. He's not. He's just not. I don't know why he's ever said that. He's a pretty far left guy. But he is starting to wake up, and it's been very interesting over the past probably 4 to 6 weeks to see Bill Maher start to just go, okay, this has just gone too far. This is insane. And he breaks something down for those of us. You know, I try to be a decent human being. And when I look at somebody wearing a mask in their car, I'm trying to get my sympathy genes going for them, because they're victims. They're victims of fear mongering that they just don't know it's happening to them. It's really quite sad if you think about it. I do. My first reaction is to go, what the hell are they doing? But I'm trying to be better about that and understand. You just need to reach out to these people and explain to them how duped they are. Bill Maher did this on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Talk about chronically unfunny now. Jimmy Kimmel, one of the worst. As a matter of fact, all of the late show hosts now, it used to be Letterman, back when Letterman was funny. Johnny Carson, who was fantastic. Now it's, what, Fallon, Kimmel, and what's the other nut job's name? Stephen Colbert, who's just horrifically, his anti-Trumpness just crushed any creativity or comedy in him. He's just been abhorrent to listen to. But this is on Kimmel, who's one of the worst. Kimmel last week famously said, if you show up to the hospital and you're unvaccinated, they should just let you die. I'm paraphrasing, but barely. That's what he said. And Bill Maher, at least, has the stones to go on Jimmy Kimmel's show and kind of break down some inconvenient facts for Jimmy Kimmel and his left-wing hysterical audience.
But I have to cite a survey that was in the New York Times, which is a liberal paper, so they weren't looking for this answer. But they were talking about, the question was, what do you think the chances are that you would have to go to the hospital if you got COVID?
Mm-hmm.
And Democrats thought that was way higher than Republicans. 41% of Democrats, and the answer is between 1 and 5%.
Okay.
41% of Democrats thought it was over 50%.
Do you see how sick that is? I mean, we're already challenged in this country. We're challenged educationally. We are certainly, obviously, quite challenged as critical thinking. I've rewatched the movie Idiocracy recently, and I'm seeing more parallels than ever. I believe the scene where they're debating in the, if you've ever seen Idiocracy, I recommend you watch it. I used to think it was a really funny movie when it came out about 15 years ago. I now realize it's a documentary. They water their lawn with something similar to Gatorade, and all their crops die. But they keep doing it because the marketing department of this, it's called Brondo is the name of this drink in this movie. And they say, well, you put Brondo on everything. You water your crops with it. It's got electrolytes. And so they do a cabinet meeting with this group of idiots running the country in this movie. Again, very similar to today. We've got a group of idiots running the country. Then they're sitting around the table and they're saying, well, you know, the crops are all dying. We're all going to starve. Nothing's happening. What do you... We water them with Brondo, and the guy goes, well, why do you do that? Because it's got electrolytes, but it's killing your crops. But it's got electrolytes. That to me, is the mask conversation. Why do you mask the kids? It doesn't work. Because we mask the kids. But it doesn't work. But they have to wear them. But the studies show that masks do absolutely nothing. But masks, I mean, it's just bizarre. But you understand from Bill Maher, and I'm gonna take this back just a little bit to listen to these statistics. Democrats believe that if you get COVID, it's a death sentence. And it's not their fault. See, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to access my side of empathy and compassion. It's not their fault. I have heard medical professionals go on the news and say, you have a choice. Get the vaccine or die. And Bill Maher is going to tell you right here, the actual statistic on whether or not you'll even go to the hospital if you get COVID. It's only 1-4%. And you've got doctors saying you either take the vaccine or you die. 95% of the people who get COVID don't even come anywhere near a hospital. They might stay home for a few days. But Democrats have been led to believe that it is over 50% that you're going to go to the hospital if you get COVID.
What do you think the chances are that you would have to go to the hospital if you got COVID?
Mm-hmm.
And
nope, you can tell Jimmy Kimmel doesn't like where this is going. Bill, this isn't our narrative.
Democrats thought that was way higher than Republicans. 41% of Democrats, and the answer is between 1 and 5%.
Okay.
41% of Democrats thought it was over 50%. Another 28% thought it was 20-49%. So 70% of Democrats thought it was way, way, way higher than it really was. Liberal media has to take a little responsibility for that.
Just listen to the deathly silence of the audience. They don't know what to do with this. Wait, Jimmy Kimmel's supposed to be making us scared of COVID, and here comes Bill Maher. Their heads are trying to figure this out. You can just hear the brains churning, but they don't know when to applaud or how to applaud.
Scaring the shit out of people. And the reason... Now,
Jimmy Kimmel is one of the people that has been scaring the beep out of people.
I'm bringing this up is because it's much harder for every touring act to sell tickets in blue states.
Oh, interesting.
They're afraid to go out of the house.
I see.
Whereas in red states, it's all good to go.
Uh-huh.
Meaning the blue states have been scared of their own shadows. And the red states are realizing it's a virus. We get it. We understand it now. We've been around for a while. We kind of get we understand what we're dealing with. The blue states and even the Democrats in white in red states are still just completely off base with their irrational fear of this stuff.
So I just want to say to those people in San Rafael and Pittsburgh and New York, I ain't going to give it to you. I promise, it's safe.
I got one laugh.
We're doing everything we can. There's distancing. There's masking.
Two other things that don't work.
Enjoy. Live life.
You did get it.
Embrace life.
You did get it.
Jimmy Kimmel's going to jump on him. But you did get it. I mean, you're giving this advice to my audience. But you got COVID too, didn't you? Well, there's one more inconvenient fact Bill Maher is going to break for him here.
I got it after I was vaccinated.
Uh-oh. You got it after you were vaccinated, right. And you wouldn't...
And I had no symptoms. That may be because I was vaccinated, but...
Or it could be like the other millions and millions of Americans who got COVID and didn't even know they were sick until they got a test. Maybe it was the vaccine, or maybe it was the same thing. Either a false test or a bunch of people who didn't even know they had this disease.
Let's not even get into that, because I know you and your boyfriend, Howard Stern, are very paranoid about this. But it's a little weird that I got it after. But now many, many, many people have had the same situation.
Yes. I know people.
Oh, they know a lot of people who got the vaccine and suddenly got COVID. That's weird. Well, anyway, I'm telling you, The tide may be turning. We'll see. Be right back.
At first I was afraid. I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong. I grew strong. I learned how to get along. And so you're...
All right, I've only got a couple of minutes left in this hour. This is Mike Madison sitting in for the great Kim Wade while he recovers. We'll come back next hour. We're going to talk about this mask thing. If your kids are masked and you think it's just an inconvenience, please stick around. I'm telling you, this is hurting your children. I know you don't mean to. Parents love their children. Grandparents love their children. And God love you, you think you're helping them. You think you're doing something to keep them safe. I'm going to show you that's not the case, man. And I've got stuff from the National Institutes of Health's website. I don't just shoot from the hip on this show. I've got my opinions. You're going to hear them. There's no doubt about that. If the mask even worked, I will be honest with you, I would still not be for mandates because I'm for personal freedom and I don't like a government that all treats us like we're children. I don't like the infantilization of citizenry by a bunch of corrupt politicians. I really don't care what side of the aisle you're on. It seems like that makes sense. Don't we all know these people are corrupt? Don't we all know these are not real smart people running the show? So I don't need them making decisions for me. But I do a lot on my show about health. More than anybody in Central Mississippi. Every Wednesday from 10 o'clock, I dedicate an hour to people being healthy. If I thought a mask helped you, I would say wear a mask and then do these other things. They don't work. Vitamin D works better than the mask. And for some reason, Thomas Dobbs, he doesn't understand the word. Maybe he's got some kind of a bizarre stutter that he can't say the words vitamin D. You want to know why the homeless community hadn't come down with COVID? We haven't heard stories about the homeless being wrecked with COVID. They're not social distancing. I don't know if you've ever seen a homeless encampment. It's because they're out in the sun all day. Being homeless is better to avoid COVID than wearing a mask. I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying. If you notice the outcomes. Anyway, we're going to talk about masks. We are trying to get parents energized about this issue. It's not just an inconvenience. It's not just a pain. It's dangerous. Stick around. I'll show you why. All right, welcome back to the Kim Wade Show. I, quite obviously, am not Radio Strongman Kim Wade. I am Mike Madison. I do a show from 9 to 11 here at WIAB. Don't know if you've caught it before, but I got to tell you, if you are not down with everything that's going on between vaccine mandates, mask mandates, all the hysteria, all the restrictions, the lockdowns, the quarantining of our kids constantly, if you're not for these things, I think this is your only home. Tune it to 103.9, rip off the knob. Because it seems like every other station in this market has just gone full on authoritarian, even though they tell you that they're conservative. I call them WGOP. Is that wrong? Is that petty? Anyway, I'm filling in for Kim Wade as he continues to recover. I appreciate you allowing me to do that today. We're going to talk a little bit. I've become an activist. I've been a bit of an activist for a while. Different issues. I worked with on the medical marijuana campaign. I don't know if people appreciate that or don't. Regardless, I think 74% of you like it, so I'll take those odds. I don't like an overarching federal government bossing us around, and I sure don't like a bunch of health bureaucrats bossing us around. But I got to tell you, when it came to our kids, and the realization that we are having trouble with these school boards getting our own kids free of these masks, I got involved. I don't have kids in the schools anymore. They graduated from Madison Public Schools. And so I certainly have a soft spot. I had a great experience in the Madison County Schools. I really did. Great teachers, great administrators. It was like living in Mayberry. But boy, am I disappointed in to see what they're doing right now and the fact that they're not responsive to large numbers of parents. To just all they're asking for is choice. And these masks don't work. But I'm going to make the case. We're going to take a couple of calls this hour that I've already got arranged. And I'm going to give you some studies from the National Institutes of Health's website, from the CDC. peer-reviewed studies. These masks are not only not effective. Look at any chart and where it shows where the mask mandate went in. I don't care what city, what state, what town, what country. Take a look at a chart and find a mask mandate that slowed this exponential rise in cases. It doesn't happen. This is why doctors weren't wearing masks in 2019 during flu season. I think we had an especially tough flu season back in 2018. When you went to your doctor's office, was he wearing a mask? No, he was not. Or she. I don't want to be sexist here. So anyway, we're going to talk about this and deconstruct this because I am bound and determined to get more parents fired up about this, and then we're going to give you some ways that you can get involved. If we can't protect our children, number one, our precious cargo, and number two, if we cannot take back control of our own schools, what hope do you have of taking back anything else? You think you're going to change something at the legislature or in Washington, D.C.? If you can't even take control of the schools that you go to several times a week where you know the people there, it's only a few blocks from your home in many cases. If you can't take back control of your schools, I got to tell you, everything is lost. We've got with us to start talking about the fact that these masks are not only an inconvenience, they're actually dangerous. We've got a psychologist on with us, and this is Dr. Miller. Dr. Miller, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Great. I sure appreciate you joining me again. We talked a little bit on Saturday. Tell us kind of, you know, your qualifications and what your take is on masking our children as far as kind of, you know, child psychology.
Sure. Yes, my background, I have over 18 years of clinical experience, primarily working with families, teens, and even children. And then I have over 11 years now in higher education. So I conduct my own research. I'm trained to teach research. And so when all of this started happening and I started noticing that they were censoring some research over others,
right,
I started to dig into it myself. And you're right, the physiological side of it, it definitely doesn't work. But what was disturbing was starting to see the psychological implications, particularly the risk that we see in children developing higher rates of anxiety, stress, depression, and ultimately seeing an increased number of suicidal attempts as well as completed suicides amongst children as young as, you know, 8 or 9.
Yeah, that's been really sad, those young numbers of kids where, I remember being upset when I was a kid about silly little things, but I never got to any kind of level of, like, lifelong despair. And so, you know, what you're talking about, particularly when it comes to the suicides, it's the whole raft of what are so-called mitigation efforts, the lockdowns, the separation of kids, the forcing them. I got to tell you, if you had forced me to stay in the house with my parents when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, that would have been like a steel cage death match in that place. I was a rebellious teenager. So, you know, that certainly has not been good. What other kind of effects do these masks have on kids, and what have you seen or researched?
Right. So one of the biggest concerns is this increase in anxiety and particularly in stress, because that starts to release hormones and chemicals that disrupt the psychosocial, emotional, and cognitive development in children. There was one study I found that actually identified this increased stress as disrupting the hormonal development in children. And it said that this kind of stress, long-term exposure to increased stress, is leaving what they said was neuroepigenetic scars. And what that means is that the markers that are supposed to happen that helps children to develop, that they're being disrupted, but they're being disrupted in a way that looks like scar tissue. And we don't know what the long-term effects are going to be.
Oh, wow.
But in the short term, we're seeing it exacerbates behavioral problems, and it also weakens the immune system. So this is now talking also about the mind-body connection as well.
Yeah. What about social connections between kids? We've had a lot of people, particularly the young children, reading faces and verbal cues. Have you looked at even newborns who are suddenly surrounded by a bunch of essentially faceless people? I know we express a lot with our eyes, but there's got to be something that we don't understand that could happen to kids who just are constantly seeing faces covered.
Right. And that's going to be, you know, a significant problem in the long run. Right now, as far as research goes, people aren't publishing, but I also, because journals aren't letting them publish, but I also don't know where the funding is heading, because, you know, funding drives research.
Right.
So as far as what we know about development, you know, being able to see facial expressions is essential for children to develop both empathetic connections as well as trust in people. And it is also plays a key role in developing their ability to develop language, you know, being able to develop social skills and, you know, reading people's faces. There's a frequently cited study that came out of Stanford a long time ago that says over 55% of communication is nonverbal,
right,
and that it primarily comes from facial expressions. And especially if we're looking at the bonding that happens with young children and toddlers, so much of it is dependent upon those facial expressions and the body language. So covering half the face, you know, is going to be, I believe, you know, detrimental. And we're going to start seeing more and more delays and developmental delays, as well as behavioral problems and cognitive problems in children if this continues.
What would your advice be if you sat in front of a school board or an administrator or something when it comes to mask wearing for these children? I mean, and again, the thing that is so frustrating about this is, you know, I'm kind of with my kids. I've always told them, you got to roll with the punches. Sometimes bad things happen and you move on. If COVID was something that the masks worked, or it was more deadly to kids and the masks worked, then, you know, it might be, there might be a trade-off there that needs to happen, and we'll deal with it on the other side. The problem with COVID is that the rate of children having poor outcomes from COVID is 0.0. I mean, it's almost completely non-existent. I think we lost 400 children over the past year. This may be a little bit of an old statistic, but it's around 400 children. Every one of them were already sick with things like leukemia and other horrific comorbidities, a tragedy, each one of them. But knowing that this is not affecting children, it might put them at home just like the flu does every year, but without it being some kind of a death sentence or automatic hospitalization. If that's not the consideration we need to make because it's not that dangerous to them, what do you tell administrators and school boards? What would your suggestion be to them?
Right. So the issue is that we are seeing, like you said, no benefit. These masks do not correlate at all to a reduction in the spread of the infection. There is absolutely no physiological benefit. It does not serve any preventative as a preventative measure. So when we're looking at something that has no benefits, and then all of a sudden we're ignoring the cost column,
right,
when we look over there, there's actually significant costs. There are costs that are happening mentally, emotionally, and psychosocially, as well as physically, because I've seen research that is actually showing a possible reverse correlation between mask wearing and infection, as well as increasing infections of other diseases that are happening.
Right.
So there's a lot of risk to these kids wearing masks and no benefit whatsoever.
Yeah, the cost-benefit analysis, just across the board, whatever, you know, what they did to Main Street, what they've done to the labor markets, to the supply chains, I mean, all of the knock-on effects of these so-called mitigation efforts, which, I mean, you look at America's record, we're one of the worst in the world for our outcomes, and I largely believe that's because we're a very unhealthy people and have been for decades, but you know, there's been no cost-benefit analysis. It has just been, you know, and I try to give health workers, and this is different than school administrators, but for health workers, you know, they're surrounded by disease every day. And so they may get a little myopic about the idea that life goes on for the rest of us out here. And so I kind of understand why they get hysterical about it. But to the schools, I do not get what they are clinging to maintain these mask mandates and quarantining of kids and these other measures.
Well, my other concern, too, is looking at what's the ultimate goal here, because I feel like there's also kind of a cowing effect happening to our children.
Yes, absolutely.
Because there's a 2021 study that showed an increased amount of what we call psychovegetative reactions in children, which means that they're shutting down, they're withdrawing, there's reduced participation, you're seeing more depressive behaviors. But it also makes them very passive. And it feels like we're back in the 90s when all the kids got overdiagnosed with ADHD and we just want to medicate them also, that they would just sit there and be quiet and not cause any problems for any of the teachers, that they were just controllable. And it feels like these masks are just another effort to do that, because what we're seeing children do is just, they're shutting down.
Well, I've got to tell you, any syndrome that has the word vegetative in it with our children is just horrific and really so scary. Well, Look, I appreciate it. We've got to jump to a break, but I appreciate you coming on. You came on with me Saturday. It's great to have people who study the brain, who have qualifications in that area, to explain to people these are not just inconveniences. These have got real world effects. We're going to talk a little bit later on in this hour about some of the physical effects like you talked about. There are studies out there showing these things are actually conduit to transmission, meaning it makes transmission worse. And that's counterintuitive to a lot of people, but the studies bear it out. So, Dr. Miller, I really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, people, I don't know what we're doing anymore. This has made me sad. I'm serious. These school boards have got to know these things. Parents may not. I know we outsource a lot of our thinking to people running these different systems, whether it be the schools or the health departments. We're 16, 17 months into this, and it's shown masks have made no difference whatsoever. And yet they continue with the talking point, and people refuse to acknowledge it. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the parents who are getting involved. They're going to their school boards, and they're not going to stop. My message to the school boards would be, the more you dismiss these parents, the angrier and more motivated they're going to get. And maybe if that lesson sinks in a little bit, you realize this isn't going away. I guess we need to address this now. Because this, I think for too long, school boards have been able to just dismiss parents. You're just a slight annoyance for about 30 minutes every month when we have a meeting. And it really hasn't even been that many parents. I've never been to a school board meeting until a few weeks ago. But these parents are not stopping. I love the passion of them. We're going to have one on with us when we come back. Stay with me.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
All right, we are back. This is Mike Madison filling in for the great Kim Wade on the Kim Wade Show. Here we're talking a little bit about mask mandates in particular. My thing is, the masks are dangerous. They're ineffective. And we need to exercise that muscle about exerting some control over our school boards. For too long, the schools have been doing Common Core, No Child Left Behind. Education's getting worse and worse and worse. And the parents just sit by and allow it to happen. They're rolling out transgender bathrooms. They're doing bizarre sex ed stuff. Parents don't really show up. They grumble about it. They talk about it. They might fire off an email to the principal, but it's time to become a level of an activist. And when it comes to our kids, I think that should fire up people. I will do things for my kids I might not get off my butt for myself to do. You know what I mean? I think a lot of us are like that. We're more lazy for ourselves, but when you start talking about our kids, and I have run up against, I got fired up when I heard that Madison had done a bait and switch of a mask mandate by telling people, it's just 2 weeks. It's just 2 weeks. And the second I heard that, I thought, oh, my gosh, they're doing the old. And, of course, they've already extended it once. It looks like they're set to extend it. And this is not going away. I believe this is going to be years. If we do not put our foot down now, you are going to be sitting. And we know how fast time goes by. You're going to be sitting there in a year from now going, I can't believe they're still doing this. Maybe we should stop this. So I got fired up about it, started talking to a few people. I got hooked up with this group, and then I found this group of mama bears that I just love to death. They are fired up and ready to try to get these masks off our kids, and I got one of them, Sarah, on the line with me now. Sarah, are you with me?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Sound great. All right, so I wanted to get you on. You're somebody who's been very vocal. I was really impressed when I went to the Madison County School Board meeting a couple of weeks ago. There was a young boy handing out stickers, and I was thinking, okay, now people are getting organized. They're printing stuff up, and apparently that was your son, correct?
Yeah, that's Michael. Yes, he was also on the news.
Yeah, so you're already raising a bit of an activist. That's a good thing to do. So you've started kind of taking up this mask thing and trying to organize parents to get them involved in this issue. What is the mask issue? Why are you fired up about it?
So many reasons, Mike. Obviously, you know, the mask don't work. It's more psychological for me and the hypocrisy of it. You see, you know, everybody else out in public not wear masks. And I'm not going to teach my kids that they have to wear a mask all day.
Yeah, and parents are forced into that doing it, you know, because you know we're not going to wear them. We're smart, and then we tell our kids they've got to, kids have got to be getting out of these cars, going to these schools, going, my parents just went to church and they went to the store. We never wear a mask. Why do they make me wear it here at school?
That's right, and we did it all year last year. Okay, and I was in the schools. I do PTO board, room mom, all that. I was up there. I saw it. You know, if you try to take a picture of a kid, you better pull your mask up, whether they're at lunch or whatever. And it's such hypocrisy. I told myself, I said, I'm not doing it next year. My kids won't do it next year. So I pulled my kids out for homeschooling because the 14 days that they tell us that they're going to review and we have to be at a certain level to keep the mask on, well, the masks are still on. And there's this last week, there were 31 cases that tested positive out of 13,252 students.
That's in the Madison County School District?
Yes.
Yeah. And don't
so
they...
My children... Yeah, go ahead.
Don't they have rules and stuff where they what I hate about this stuff is they couch all of these things for the past 16, 17, 18 months where they've been saying we're always guided by the data and the science. And they set these kind of arbitrary numbers and try to pretend it's science, kind of like, you know, COVID doesn't come out until 10 o'clock. So a bar can stay open until 10, but then you got to shut down. And everybody's got to go home and lock up because that's when COVID comes
right.
out. So the Madison County School Board has had, don't they have different metrics where they say this is going to be a mask time and then they start quarantining kids? I mean, they've got all these arbitrary numbers that make it sound like they know what they're doing, but they don't.
Mm-hmm. They've got all these protocols that they're going to follow, but they've never followed any of them. The students were in school. They split them up, you know, half and half. And they were in school for 2 days. And the next day they announced that COVID was rampant. So they had to go to level 3 of masking. And we've been at a level 3 since we started school, 2 days after we started school. We started on August the 9th. So that doesn't even make any sense.
So what is the thinking that why they are continuing to do this? First of all, they're ineffective. We know they don't work. It's not hard. And this is not hidden from anybody. I mean, the CDC has got dozens of reports on their own website of research going back decades that show these things don't work. What do you think the motivation of these school boards is to keep these kids in these ridiculous masks? Is it the teachers? What is it?
No, and you know what, and as far as the teachers and administrators, I just want everybody to know, most of us parents, you know, the ones that are speaking out on this, we're speaking out for them also.
Yeah.
They have reached out with us, most of them. They can't say anything, and we adore them. It's not the schools. We're not upset at the schools. We're upset at the school boards. The school boards, the Department of Education. But anyway, we think that it's because of the federal funding coming down.
So if they enact the CDC guidelines, they get good, cold, hard cash.
Yes.
Wow.
They do. We know that Mississippi has at least gotten $2.2 billion.
Yeah, and that's total. Do you know what's gone to education in particular or school districts in particular? Is there anywhere we can find out that amount of money that so we kind of know what we're dealing with?
We think that Madison County Schools, and I haven't researched anyone else, has gotten at least $16 million. And that's just for the masking, the possible testing that's coming, the vaccine clinics, you know, just following their protocol. It comes from the CARES Act, the ARP Act, and ESSER Act. So, and there's probably more that, you know, we don't even know about.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I guess this is like a lot of federal stuff. There's strings attached. You get this money, but you've got to enact everything we say.
That's right, and they've sold our kids out for millions.
Have the school boards ever admitted this?
No, they have not.
Have they ever addressed the question? Has any? Let me guess, Sarah. I'm sure there are some hard-hitting investigative reporters at the Clarion Ledger that are grilling them with these kinds of questions, aren't there?
Right? You would think so.
You'd think so.
No, not at all.
Right.
Not at all. We've had some parents ask. I know Jameson asked them about it. I think Mr. Hinkle asked them about it, but no.
Do they? This is at a school board meeting. Yeah. Do they?
At the school board meeting.
Mm-hmm. At these school board meetings, is there any back and forth? Are they responding? Can you ask them a question and they actually answer it? Or you just get your 2 or 5 minutes where they roll their eyes and just wait for you to shut up?
So at the first school board meeting, you know, the school board meeting room is very small. You can't fit very many people in there. Well, so the second school board meeting, which was in August right before school started, they had it at Ann Smith Elementary Gym, so there were a ton of parents that could fit in. You know, we were all in there. I think they felt a little intimidated. I had like 7 Ridgeland Police Department officers there, which we love our police. You know, we support our police officers. But I was like, what do you think we're going to do? But anyway, so, yeah, they addressed it then because we were raising heck. We were raising heck, and we were just asking and yelling out questions. You know, they didn't have a choice. So now they've moved the school board meetings back to the central office, which is tiny. They had a social distance. We probably had maybe 10 parents in there. And we probably had about 70 parents, you know, at the meeting, but they were put into the different room. But no, they have not addressed us. They have not, you know, we asked questions. They didn't address us. But later that night, it was on the news where they addressed the news saying that we would still be under a mask mandate.
Yeah. I'm saying, they think some parents might have spoken, but they didn't really listen. We're just going to keep doing what we've always been doing. And isn't that funny that they gave you a big venue and a lot of parents showed up, so they went straight back to a small venue. You know, if you're in any organization and you've got a good turnout, you usually try to go to a bigger spot to more comfortably accommodate those people wanting to join. But they instead went the other way, didn't they? That's so telling in itself.
So we've been emailing asking if we have a meeting coming up on October the 4th at 5 o'clock. We've been emailing asking if we could have a bigger room, we could do the Antimuth gym again, and she said no because they have to have 30 days in advance. So now we're emailing asking for November. Okay, can we be in a bigger room, you know, so we can all come. I mean, we're all going to plan on coming anyway. We'll be in the little room, the holdover room.
Yeah.
But we're going to be there.
Well, good.
We're gonna be there.
And more parents need to, you know, we talked about this on Saturday. You and I have talked off air. I mean, we've got in Madison County, we've got about 72,000 parents and grandparents. Between Madison County, Rankin County, and Jackson Public Schools, there's about 340,000 parents and grandparents. Wouldn't you think we should be able to get 500 people? And you have been supporting the people in Rankin County as well, too, because there's fighters in Rankin County?
Yes. So there is a Rankin County meeting this Wednesday. They do it at 7:30 in the morning. It's at their district office on Apple Park Place. But anyway, so we're going. We've had some Madison mamas go out there the last few meetings. I mean, they do it at 7:30 in the morning. You know, it's very inconvenient if you're dropping off kids or whatever. But yeah, so we're supporting them. We're supporting. They have a Facebook page called RCSD Parents for Mask Choice. We're all trying to come together and just, you know, get rid of this nonsense.
Yeah, and my thing is, you know, I believe parents need to form something similar to like a union almost that is just a mobilizing force, and the more parents, the better. It needs to be big. Even if you want your child to wear a mask, you should be for choice and not allowing a school board to make decisions for children they've never even met. They don't know what kids are suffering problems from this mask, from these masks. And if you're a parent and you want to send your child to school in a mask, you should have compassion for that child who's getting a headache every day. I mean, every parent should be able to make this decision. The fact that school boards are making medical decisions for our children is just abhorrent. Tell me real quick, how can people get involved in these things?
Well, we have lots of information. So we've got, I told you about the two board meetings. You can find me on Facebook. I will fill you on anything you want to know. I'm Sarah Woods on Facebook. I'm in Madison County. You can find me on Facebook. You can text for freedom, the number four, freedom, to 797979. That is Mississippi Patriots for Vaccine Rights and Medical Freedom. We're going to have a rally also on October 9th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
So and that's we'll be there, a Saturday, you know, right?
That's on a Saturday. We'll be there talking about that. We'll also be at the Not On Your Watch rally, or Not On Our Watch rally, that evening. I think it starts at 5:30.
Well, gosh, Sarah, why didn't y'all have the rally at Wednesday morning at 7:30? That seems to,
right?
Because you actually want people to show up and be heard. So that's what you do. You schedule it for a time that's convenient for people.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you bring up a point, too, because y'all have kind of partnered with Mary Jo Perry over there with her group that's been talking about these mandatory vaccines in our state for years and years. She's like one of the OG activists around here.
Yeah, I told her that you called her the OG activist, and she said, "Hang on, let me Google OG."
Well, see, she's not. She doesn't have the street cred that I have. You know, I'm a Murrah High School graduate. But the thing is that the reason that's a good combination too is that, and the reason that I think the mask is particularly important. The masks are a serious issue. I believe that tomorrow morning, starting at 8 o'clock, tens of thousands of children who should be just living their lives and getting educated are going to be in a state of abuse for yet another day. So I think the mask issue is important. But even more important than that, these vaccine mandates are coming. If you do not let people, if you do not put the school boards and the State Department of Health on notice that you make decisions for your children, not the school boards, they will come at you with this vaccine. By then, it's going to be too late to try to organize. It's time to organize now.
That's right. If the vaccine does get mandated in Mississippi, we don't have a religious exemption.
Right.
So if you want to send your child to a public school or a private school, you have to give them the COVID vaccine. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see what Tate Reeves, and that's all we need to be emailing. Tate Reeves, Delbert Hoseman, Philip Gunn, your local representatives. You can find all that on openstates.org. You just put your address in. You can email, you can call, whatever, you text. Yeah, I mean, I think it's coming. I hate that, and I hope it doesn't. But there's already vaccine clinics at the school. So
right.
We just found out today, a couple of hours ago, that Madison County is having a vaccine clinic at Velma Jackson High School. It's this Wednesday. We're livid.
Yeah, and I'm just telling you, it is better safe than sorry on that issue, because our state legislature, like you say, there's not even a religious exemption. I mean, if you want to access the schools in the state of Mississippi, our legislature says roll up that sleeve. I mean, no exceptions. Do you know if, like, at these vaccine clinics, do you know if these kids have got to be with a parent or have anything, or can kids right now make their own decisions, go to these clinics and get a shot without their parents even knowing it? That's happening in some states.
Right. So the crazy thing is, I'm looking on the TrustCare website right now. Also, TrustCare gets, you know, $75 a head for everyone that they vaccinate. But, you know, that comes down from the CDC. But you scan like a little QR code is the thing. And so you go on there and you give consent for your kid to be vaccinated. So you don't have to be there.
Oh, wow. And I'm sure there's no fraud there. I mean, you know, there's no room for error there, that a child could do it for themselves.
Mm-hmm. If consent is recorded, students do not need an adult with them for the vaccine. That is on the TrustCare website.
And I got to tell you, and I'm guilty of this too, every time we say vaccine, particularly for children, we should throw in experimental before it, because this is an experimental shot. Man, Sarah, I can't thank you enough. It's been great getting to know you and the other women and men that are out there right now fighting this. We need more people. Y'all contact Sarah either on her Facebook or find one of these groups. I'll be talking about it every day on my show. The other hosts here are fired up about this as well. We need to organize parents. We need to do it now. We need to have a bigger group. Yeah, we need more and more numbers.
As long as fans can be counted, you know, don't let your kid think you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I want my kids to know that I'm fighting for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And for a good, yeah, thank you so much, Sarah. Keep up the good fight.
We will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Bye. All right, got to jump to a break. I'll be right back.
I tear my heart open. I sew myself shut. My weakness is that I can't do much. And my scars remind me that the past is real. I tear my heart open just to.
All right, we are back. This is the Kim Wade Show, and I am not Kim Wade. I'm Mike Madison here, filling in this chair for him. I've horribly managed my time. I got one short segment I'm going to have to come back and finish up. So we're talking about these mask mandates at the schools, why I think they're so important. We've had a psychologist come on and explain to you the damage they're doing to your children. And I would imagine, I should have asked the doctor this, the younger, the worse off they are. You know, we talk about how resilient our kids are, and there's something to that. But I got to tell you, you're asking a lot of a 5 or 6 year old to give up 2 years of their life in these ridiculous masks. But I want to get into some study stuff, too. It's not just psychological. I'm not whining. I don't wear the mask myself because I don't do ridiculous things for other people that don't work to make them feel better. Because I think that's like coddling a child. This is a study conclusion. I got to kind of go fast here. I've got more. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYEB.com, and I'll send you links to any of this stuff. This is on the National Institutes of Health website, a conclusion on a study. And I'd like to read the parameters of this study. It's incredibly sciencey. But this is a group that did a study that came out not that long ago, but it's on the National Institutes of Health website. It says, we found that cotton materials are hydrophilic and readily allow droplets to rapidly penetrate and saturate the fabric like a sponge. Therefore, face coverings made out of these materials may quickly become reservoirs of virus and act as conduits for viral transmission when worn, even after a short time. Reference point, reference point, reference point. Face coverings made out of polyester face these same limitations as we found it to be hydrophilic like cotton. I'm going to read the money sentence in there again. This is the conclusion of a big study that they've done on these masks. Therefore, face coverings made out of these materials, and they're talking about cotton or polyester, may quickly become reservoirs of virus and act as conduits for viral transmission when worn, even after a short time. You want to know why you've had some of the outbreaks at the schools? Maybe that's why. You've got your kids wearing something across their face, which is hurting them in a myriad of ways, including encouraging the transmission of the virus. I got more where that came from when I come back. Stay with me. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling. All right, final segment here on the Kim Wade Show. Kim's still recovering. He will be back sooner rather than later. I appreciate him letting me sit in his chair. As I said, it takes about six white guys to fill the radio strongman Kim Wade's seat. So that should be a feather in Kim's cap. He may should be getting more money from the station. Don't tell the owner I said that. Anyway, this issue on masking, I don't know if people are upset. I spent an hour on this. I think it's worth it to try to get our kids from being harmed. I wouldn't spend hours on it if I thought it was just an inconvenience. You know, sometimes kids, yeah, you got to do things. If they worked, I would be like, yeah, it kind of sucks you grew up during COVID, but this is what we do. They don't work. That's the first of all. This has become a partisan issue too, which is just really ridiculous. Really ridiculous. And so here's some articles in the mainstream news here. Here's The Atlantic. This is an elite leftist publication. All right, this is for the hoi polloi of the Democratic Party. Certainly no Donald Trump pro magazine in any way. Here's an article they ran a couple of weeks ago. The downsides of masking young students are real. That's the headline in The Atlantic. The educational cost of face coverings is far better established than the benefits of mandates. Here is from the Wall Street Journal. This is Wall Street Journal now. This is not some guy in a van down by the river with a megaphone. The Wall Street Journal says, do masks reduce COVID transmission in children? Believe it or not, we could find only a single retrospective study on the questions, and its results were inconclusive. Yet 2 weeks ago, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention sternly decreed that 56 million U.S. children and adolescents, vaccinated or not, should cover their faces regardless of the prevalence of infection in their community. Authorities in many places took the cues to impose mandates in schools and elsewhere on the theory that masks can't do any harm. Next paragraph, Wall Street Journal. That isn't true. Some children are fine wearing a mask, but others struggle. Those who have myopia can have difficulty seeing because the masks fog their glasses. Masks can cause severe acne and other skin problems. The discomfort of a mask distracts some children from learning. By increasing airway resistance during exhalation, masks can lead to increased levels of carbon dioxide in the blood, and masks can be vectors for pathogens if they become moist or are used for too long. And when they talk about using a mask for too long and becoming moist, the amount of time it takes for that to happen is, I believe, around 10 minutes. You're trapping your child in that thing for 8 hours. Day after day after day. I've read you the NIH studies. I'm about to run out of time on the show, but if you want to meet me in the parking lot, I can talk till midnight tonight, pulling up studies that show you that these masks don't work and the various damages and harms that they are inflicting on our children. Jackson Public Schools parents, you need to demand this too. Now that we know this is about money, maybe we change our tact a little bit. Maybe it's time to expose the corruption in this whole thing. You know, the biggest corporations were down with lockdowns too. It's strange how they ended up doing really well on their sales, and even some private equity firms ended up getting billions of dollars in bailout funds. Have you noticed who this is working out well for? Everything across the spectrum of COVID, so-called, air quotes here in the studio, mitigation efforts. It's the usual suspects. Pharmaceutical companies are knocking the cover off the ball, aren't they? The medical establishment, the hospitals, been getting what? 15 extra thousand? What's the number? They get 13,000 extra for anybody diagnosed with COVID, 39,000 extra for anybody who goes on a ventilator. They've been crushing it. Medical establishments. There's been $3 billion that was put into a fun little slush fund for influencers, people like Jimmy Kimmel or TikTokers, to go around and tell your kids how great the masks and the vaccines are. Did you know that? Did you know that the government, announced by the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, she came out and said, yeah, we're going to throw $3 billion of taxpayer money out there to get this money out to pastors, to TikTokers, to Instagram models, to late-night show hosts. Anybody they consider an influencer, they sloshed $3 billion around to get them to convince your kids to wear a mask and get a shot. The big banks are doing great. The entire financial system has been bailed out. Even the airlines, who took it on the chin with all these ridiculous restrictions, they got bailed out. You know who's not doing well in COVID? Main Street and middle-class America. And our kids in particular. That kids' suicides going up. There's a huge outbreak right now of RSV. I talked to a doctor about this the other day to confirm the headlines I've seen. I wanted to get a little bit of a boots on the ground. This respiratory syncytial virus. If I'm butchering the middle word, I apologize. A huge increase in RSV at a weird time during the year. Isn't that interesting? Well, now that you know that that dirty, filthy polyester and cotton mask you're strapping on the muzzle of your child every day is just breeding bacteria, are you now surprised they're having more lung problems? So the kids aren't doing well. Middle class America's not doing well. Main Street businesses aren't doing well. The elites are doing fantastic. Apparently the school boards are doing well. The state governments are doing well. They're getting a bunch of money sloshing around. I believe the state of Mississippi had an $800 billion surplus last year. Follow the money. But they will continue to get away with this stuff only as long as anyone, we allow them to get away with it. We don't put our foot down. And I'm telling you, the reason this mask issue is so important is twofold. One is they are harming our children every day. But number two, you're setting a precedent that school boards are dictating medical procedures for your children, and they are coming with this vaccine. Maybe you want your child to get it. Go with God. But even if you want this one, if you let mandates roll out there, you might not like the next one, or the one after that, or the one after that. Parents, you need to get ahead of this thing. Get involved. Go to these school board meetings. I'll see you tomorrow.
No
Bye-bye.
Matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.